The December 13, 2022 Board of Adjustment meeting will come to order. Mr. Zenner, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Norgaard?
Present.
Ms. Hammond?
Here.
Mr. Minshew?
Here.
Ms. Rogers?
Here.
Mr. Crew?
Here.
You have five. You have a quorum, sir.
Thank you. I will seek a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
And it Hammond. Moved. Seconded by Ms. Rogers. Is there any discussion on the meeting minutes?
Yes. So members present, we just have a name from not Mr. Andy Waters, but Mr. Andy Minshew. Present.
Good catch. We didn't even look the same.
Are there any further comments? All right, seeing none, let's vote to approve the motion. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any in favor or opposed? Hearing none, the minutes are approved. Oop, I did the minutes before the agenda. Sorry. Let's talk about the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda? No, we move to approve the minutes.
I make a motion to approve the agenda, Minshew.
Okay.
Seconded, Crew.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Talked about the minutes. So we were a little bit out of order.
Sorry.
Okie dokie. Sorry about that, folks. Would the court reporter please swear in staff?
Yes, I do.
All right. So we're going to open up the meeting and hear our first case. So our first case is a public hearing, case number 04-2023. The request of Chess Heitmeyer, agent, on behalf of Richard and Maria Parker, owners, to grant a variance allowing an accessory structure, a pergola in this case, to be located forward of the principal structure, a single family dwelling on property addressed as 215 West Sexton Road, which is not permitted by section 29-3.3I. II-IIIA of the Unified Development Code. This item was tabled at the November 8, 2022 Board of Adjustment meeting, and the real estate is lot 9 of all and all of lot 16 except the north 115 feet thereof. J.A. Stewart's addition to the City of Columbia, Missouri, according to the plat thereof, recorded in plat book 1, page 10 of the Boone County, Missouri records, which is, as I said before, known as 215 West Sexton Road. Mr. Liaison, I guess, has anybody had any ex parte conversations about this on the board? No? Okay. So, Mr. Zenner, would you tell us if it has been properly advertised?
Yes, it has.
Has it been posted with a public notice of public hearing?
Yes, it has.
Have the parties of interest been notified?
Yes, they were.
Were there any inquiries?
No, there have not.
Excellent. So, would the person making application please come forward, state your name, address, and be sworn in, and make your case?
Hello, my name is Chess Heitmeyer. My address for the business, 5900 North Tower Drive, Suite F, Columbia, Missouri. So basically, we have a case in.
Would you be sworn in?
So we have a case of a client of ours that's wanting to go solar on their house. They have two dwellings, a garage in the back with a single family structure in the front. There's raised garden beds in the front, and we're proposing to put a pergola over the top with panels over it. We have 3D drawings if you guys would like to see them. If not, they're in their attachments. But that's basically it. The reasons for this structure would be there's a huge oak tree on the west side of that structure. 100 years old, it's huge. So we can't really cut that down. And there's really no other place on that property to put such an array to offset these bills.
Are there any questions for the applicant?
So I just have a question. So the backyard, it's quite a deep backyard, correct?
Mm-hmm.
But the shade is, why is there no place there to put solar panels?
It would just be the shade aspect of it. You wouldn't be getting the efficiencies. The structure is two stories as well, so you're not going to get a lot of that western sun whenever it gets low. So you just wouldn't get that production. We also thought the pergola would be the most feasible choice because it is a wood frame. It's not paved or anything under it, like the section says. That's for pools and things like that. Correct me if I'm wrong, but there's no concrete or anything else going under it. It's just the raised flower beds that are currently there.
How tall will this pergola be?
I mean, that's kind of up to the Parkers. I mean, we put them 8 feet. We can put them 20 feet if we want, but it's kind of whatever. The way I would see it, it'd be, you know, reach up, touch, like a hanging flower pot on top, so with no ladder, something like that. Maybe 8 feet.
At the eaves? Not at the high point, right? You're talking about at the eave?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
Yes. So we set these at 10%, so the north side would be a little higher than we have a 10% slope, so we can get that efficiency.
So you're really just installing a pergola to put the solar panels on there, right?
Yeah, basically.
Under garden and anything related to it, that'll just get eaten up, right? It's just...
Correct.
It'll be a structure, yeah.
Yeah.
And is the setback at 21'3", is that... within our code? I thought it was 25 foot.
We can put it wherever for the sake of these designs. We put it far enough from the gas lines. There is a water coming through there that we have to make sure we have to keep that in consideration, and electric as well. So
but you could move it back?
Correct, yes.
Pat, do you know if that's...
I'll respond when staff is...
Sorry. Trying to get ahead of myself here. And is there, just for the sake of argument, is there any reason you couldn't put the solar panels on the house?
Because of that tree.
Because of the tree.
Yeah, the tree is right up against it on that west side.
So what's the setback of the house? Do you know?
From the street?
Uh-huh.
Not quite sure.
Okay. I thought that was something was covered in the... we'll cover that. But the other houses to the west are set back as far.
Correct.
But the one to the east is closer.
Yes, ma'am.
So usually there's an average taken, I think, but... No.
Probably 100. So looking at this, it looks like it's probably 100 feet back.
Yeah, it's pretty close
to the front of the house.
So the 25 foot might not be.
Yeah.
In the structure itself, for links and widths, the panels themselves are only 27.5 by 13.5. We would put those eaves out a little bit just for the beauty aspect of it, then to hang things off of. So 30 by 16 ish, something like that, just to... numbers.
Further questions?
It is open, so it is open on the top, so you would have a space, so rain would fall through. In the that purpose too, it's not technically a full closed off structure.
There could be a garden underneath.
Of course,
shade garden and so on. Yeah.
Did you see the renderings? Yeah. So if you look up, I mean, it'd be like looking through a TV screen, kind of. You can see the sun, stars, things like that.
It's not a carport with a solar on it. It's a pergola.
It's a pergola structure, wood structure, a cedar structure. Yep. No metal. That wouldn't look very good. Some I-beams or something back there. Probably not.
So you mentioned this oak tree. I'm just curious, whose tree is it? We'll have to have you come and swear in. So if you don't have the answer to that, we can come to that in a minute.
Okay.
If there's any further questions for Mr. Heitmeier. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak on behalf of this application, please come forward.
Thank you. I'm Dick Parker, sometimes known as Richard.
Would you please give your address and swear
215
in.
West Sexton Road. I expect you're all aware that the city has already passed the Climate Action and Adaptation Plan, and that advocates that citizens put a lot more solar on their roofs, basically, net metered. The utility likes this enough that they pay us to do it. Not a lot, but some. And in fact, this replaces solar energy that they would otherwise be purchasing in the future. It is far and away the least expensive solar energy that the city gets. And it cuts everybody's utility bills as a result. The Integrated Electric Resource Plan said that the increase in net metered energy should be increasing about twice as fast as it already is. We are not making the progress we need in terms of the plan. Those are simply things that you should consider in the process of your decision. The house itself was built before solar panels were being considered, basically 1900. I haven't been able to pin it down exactly, but it's somewhere between 98 and 1902. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
Parker. Thank you. Are there any questions for this speaker?
I just had one question, and it really has to do with, we had y'all on the agenda for our last meeting. So I just wondered, were y'all not aware that you were up on the agenda, or?
I was aware that it was on the agenda. I had not anticipated that I would be speaking. I had anticipated that somebody from Solar Sam, who submitted the application for a waiver, would be taking care of it.
I had a question about the tree. So there was a mention of this oak tree that provides a good deal of shade. I'm curious if that is your tree or if that's your neighbor's tree.
Well, it's the tree on the west that is ours. The tree on the east is the neighbor's. The property lines on both sides have trees. The larger ones were probably planted or left in place with the original construction. I haven't tried to bore them to see how old they are. But they have been doing a good job of reducing our summer heating bill that the city will also pay us to plant trees that will grow that big just for that purpose. We didn't need to get any from the city.
Thank you, Mr. Parker. Any further questions?
Well, I just, you were part of the writing in the adoption of the climate and action plan, were you not?
I was not on that commission.
Ah, okay.
No. I did follow it fairly closely, but I was not on the commission, somewhat to my annoyance, but that's another issue entirely.
Thank you.
Any further questions? All right, thank you, Mr. Parker. Anybody else wishing to speak on behalf of this application, please come forward now. All right, I see none, so we'll turn to tables and ask if there's anybody against this application here to speak. Please come forward now. Okay, I see none. Mr. Zenner, I believe this is the point where I ask if you have a staff report.
You have the staff report before you. Given the testimony that has just been offered, it would appear as though the square footage or the size of the pergola that was identified on the site plan may have been inaccurate. We have it listed as a 24 by 14 pergola. If I'm not incorrect, I think I heard a number of 30 by 16 or 20 in that area. We may want to confirm that as we move forward, but that's really not material, so to speak. It's really the issue here of a pergola, which is considered an accessory structure because it is a structure that is attached physically to the ground, and our definition of structure includes these types of elements. Regardless if it's decorative or not, it was viewed as not being a decorative feature given its size. Therefore, it lent itself more to a structure, and that is why the denial was offered. If somebody, as I point out in the staff report, were to put up a pergola over their sidewalk, for example, that they grew bougainvillea vine on, we wouldn't be having them come before this body because it's a decorative feature. This is definitely not a decorative feature. It serves multiple purposes. One, shade for the existing garden beds, and then secondarily to support the solar array system that is going to be on top of it. And therefore, that is something that our staff did not view as a permissible use within the required front yard or within the front yard of a structure. We hold firm to those standards in all zoning districts. You cannot put anything forward of your principal residence. Often it's normally dealing with a garage that wants to be forward if it's not integral to the structure itself. So as has been discussed by Mr. Parker as well as by the representatives from Solar Sam, the City of Columbia does have a program that is currently in place that supports and promotes the usage of solar energy to offset residential electric usage and costs. It is part of our climate action and adaptation plan. It is a goal and objective. It is also a desired goal and objective of the environmental section of the city's comprehensive plan to allow for this type of activity to occur. This is a particular area of industry and use that is evolving, and our code has yet to keep up with that evolution. Therefore, the item, because it is on an accessory structure, and while it is being used for solar purposes, which is the secondary purpose, we have to deal with what we have within our code right now, and it doesn't allow the accessory structure, even though all purposes for what this accessory structure is going to be used for are supportable by not only the Climate and Action Adaptation Plan as well as our comp plan. It does require its placement outside of the required front setback. Again, I apologize. Oversight on my part, I did not catch the 21 feet. It does need to be set back no less than 25, which is the required front yard for this particular zoning district, as is consistent with all of our other zoning districts as well. 25 feet is the minimum. This particular house does sit back significantly greater than its adjoining neighbors, which are all either in the required front setback as a pre-existing non-conforming use, and therefore the placement of the structure at the 25 feet is not significantly out of place with the adjoining characteristics of housing that is on this particular side of the street. So in respect to the structure not complying with what the street front looks like, and as an accessory structure, we don't apply generally the median setback requirement. We didn't analyze it that way. We analyzed this as an accessory structure over an existing site improvement, i.e. the gardens. And the gardens are what are anchoring the feature itself. So that's the focal point of the front yard. And as an open structure, it is one that does not actually diminish one's ability to see through that structure back to the primary residence, which is really what the focus of anybody walking up and down the street or driving in a vehicle, that's what's intended. That's why we don't allow accessory structures in the front yard. Your accessory structure isn't your primary use. Your house is your primary use, and therefore the house should be the primary object that one is seeing. This structure being a pergola open on all sides except the roof passes muster in our mind that while it is forward of the structure, should you believe that it is appropriate to successfully address other issues, we do not necessarily have an issue with it, but because accessory structures aren't allowed in the front yard, our recommendation would have to be no, because that's how we handle every other situation similarly. We do have some unique circumstances, though, as the staff report points out. This house is set back significantly further. The structure itself doesn't really impact the street facade as it relates to the other individual structures that are there. So those are some unique factors. The property is elevated above the existing street level and sidewalk, roughly 6 or so feet, if I'm not incorrect. So those factors, as you relate to the site and its existing tree canopy around it, as has been discussed this evening, as well as the roof pitches and the roof surfaces that are on the existing structure, really do not necessarily make for a significant enough case to allow for the structure to be utilized to support the solar panels and meet other objectives of the utilities department for solar gain. Removal of the trees seems to be a adverse reaction to trying to preserve neighborhood character, and therefore, you know, you're left with limited options. And as we provided the analysis to the criteria for the variance, the applicant in the correspondence that was provided to you all did express the practical difficulties and hardships. Those were not their making. They purchased a home that sat close to 100 feet back off of the roadway and had roof pitches the way that the roof pitches are. So they're seeking some relief to be able to offset their utility costs and facilitate objectives of both the CAP and the comp plan. The applicant provided the city staff, and these were incorporated into your packet, different alternatives of extending a porch off the front of the house in order to try to create a roof surface that would otherwise be able to be considered integral to the home to avoid the variance. However, when looking at that, that actually impacts the house's aesthetic, probably more significantly than a pergola, which would be something one would maybe expect in a front yard over a garden space. And the multiple use of that pergola is actually a somewhat innovative solution to the current issue at hand, and is probably more aesthetically appealing as it relates to the neighborhood than to do an extension on the home, which may have very little utility associated to it and still may not achieve the full solar gain that's necessary to make these panels useful. The variance, if it were granted, does not modify any definition or any use allowed by the R1 zoning district. Accessory uses are allowed. However, they are restricted to being in the side or rear yard of a property. So it is the board's purpose to be able to look at the unique conditions associated with this property and to be able to render a decision associated to those unique characteristics to determine if an accessory structure in this single situation is appropriate. The decision would not set precedent, as every variance that we review is evaluated on its own individual merits. Not all properties are created equal, and it is not often that you will find probably an existing structure surrounded by others that are 75 feet forward of the primary property in question. Rare, if you probably caught it, I don't normally quote comprehensive plan standards, goals and objectives in variance reports. It was actually very pleasant to be able to do that in this particular instance to show that there is a relative correlation between what is being asked for and other objectives we looked at as we drafted the comprehensive plan for the city. The CAP plan is a document that actually supports the comprehensive plan's broader general goals for the community. And so should this particular request be approved, you are actually really facilitating the implementation of both the broader general guidelines, goals, and objectives of the city captured in the comp plan, and the more specific captured in our CAP plan to deal with our consumption of energy and other related fossil fuels and the like. So this is a unique opportunity potentially to allow something that does facilitate a tremendous amount of opportunity here in the city. As it relates to the change, is the requested variance the least needed? This is a question often that we are dwelling on as to, well, what other options exist? Yes, a text change is a possibility here. However, given the very insular nature of this particular request being the first that we have ever received, jumping immediately to a text change, which will take several months to process, is probably not reasonable. It is something that we as a staff are aware of, and it is something that I have had our conversations with our building and our site development department that we will need to address, because there will be more of these likely coming forward in the future. Again, not all properties are equal. You may in other instances be able to put the solar array in a rear yard or a side yard for that matter. So to hold up this applicant potentially to wait for a text change to occur when it is unique probably is a little bit more than we as a staff believe is appropriate, but that is a viable option. Rezoning is not. It is, you know, it's not going to change the nature. It's going to a plan district. It doesn't meet any of the criteria for plan zoning, simply to put a structure in a front yard. So the venue that this request is at is the appropriate venue and is probably the right scale for you to be able to evaluate. And if you are compelled to do so, you have a series of justifications by which to make that decision. It is not believed that the granting of this variance is going to harm anyone or the public. It actually will probably benefit the public in a more general sense. The structure would not be forward of any other existing structure that is along this particular immediate block. Therefore, and it is set higher than the actual pedestrian realm, which is the sidewalk. Therefore, we don't have a safety issue here of somebody walking into it. We don't have a concern about it falling over onto the sidewalk and a pedestrian. It will be set far enough back. And really, you're going to be looking at the bottom side of a pergola, in essence, from the street level. You're not going to necessarily, unless you step far enough back or you're approaching along Sexton, see the solar panels most likely. So the height of this particular structure does need to be set such that it is high enough that you do allow for a working within the garden area below it, meaning as Mr. Height, as the applicant pointed out, we do need to have something that's probably about to the lowest level to where you can hang a basket about 8 feet tall. So it's at least the clear span underneath the rim joist or the rafter joist that go around it that the pergola or the solar panels sit on will be high enough to work underneath. The actual pergola also, in our opinion, will become a focal point in the front yard in addition to basically providing the services needed, which right now, if you've driven past the property, it is basically a flat space, elevated, of course, but flat up to the house. This will provide some focal interest within the particular area. Not uncommon if you had another landscape feature in the front yard. And so that is something that we believe, since it's open, is actually an acceptable feature, even though it's classified as a structure and it would be considered accessory. If it were a closed tool barn or a tool shed, we'd probably have a different opinion. This is an open feature that actually seems to be anchored by the garden and will actually provide the focal point in that front area to work in. While the request will grant a privilege that is not similar to others maybe in the area, as the staff report points out, up the street to the north, there are two homes to which solar facilities have been attached on their roof surfaces, but those roof surfaces do face southward, southwest actually, therefore they do capture the maximum amount of sun necessary by our utilities department to make that type of installation appropriate with the payback that is offered as part of our program. This particular home with the pergola will be able to achieve the same, but it just could not achieve it on its property. And again, we go back to the idea that yes, every variance grants somebody special privilege, but the circumstances around which that special privilege are granted are unique and immediately attachable to this particular property for several different reasons, as we've pointed out in the report and as I've discussed this evening. We would recommend, or should the board find that the testimony made by the applicant, the property owner, are compelling, that you can take action to allow the variance to be granted, we would strongly recommend as a best practice that you identify in a recommendation, either in support or in denial of the request, what criteria out of the conditional use criteria that is out in front of you, you are finding those findings with. For the purposes of the complete and public record, as I've indicated here, board justification supporting that denial or approval needs to be made so we have a complete record. With that, I will be more than happy to answer any questions. I think the issue of the size still does need to be determined, because that should be made as a part of your board order, as well as placement being out of the required 25-foot front yard setback should you determine that you would like to approve this request.
Are there any, thanks, Mr. Zenner. Are there any questions for staff?
So I would like to go back to the 25-foot. Are you saying it should be 25? I know it's not square. The pergola is not square to the street, but the one post is to the south and west. Mm-hmm. Are you saying that one is okay at 21 feet, or it should be moved back to 25 feet?
It will need to be moved back to 25 feet. So the closest edge to the front property line must be 25 feet away.
Then, as you're standing on Sexton, I suppose it would be, you would see, it would be facing south, so it would be sloping up from Sexton back towards their house.
That is correct, at the 10% angle, as was indicated by the applicant. So given the height, the elevation change between the sidewalk and where that pergola will be set, and it'll be 25 feet back, actually, from the 25 plus feet back from the sidewalk. So you've got to overcome the elevation change between the sidewalk and the actual property. So while you're going to still have some angle and you'll see some of the panel, the mass of that may not be as significant.
Well, especially if you're standing on the sidewalk, you're not going to
see
it. So then the last question, the material that it's being built out of, is there within your codes, I mean, does it have to be aluminum? Is it wood? Does it have to be treated? I mean, all of the normal 3 foot deep on the posts, all of those things, the construction requirements, all of that applies to this?
It would apply. We do not have any specific standard, to my knowledge, that would deal with the type of material that may be needed. You will have to have engineering to support loads, which part of the plan set that was provided to you has that engineering documentation. So this, as a structure, will be evaluated by our staff to determine that it is properly embedded in the ground and will structurally support the weight and the loads placed on it. That would be both snow load plus just general weight. The cedar is probably one of the most durable woods as it relates to insect repellents and a variety of other things, and therefore that's probably it is more of a choice of the owner as to how they want to maintain this over time. Obviously, you're not going to make an investment to put a solar array on top of this structure unless you're going to have it there for a while.
My experience has been when using posts, if you don't put some sort of handrail or something over time, they can get an attitude, and it's very disappointing to look out and see sort of a bow-legged structure. So, just from a contractor to the homeowners, I would suggest you use aluminum posts, but that's...
Yeah, and if I'm looking at the drawings correctly, it would appear as though the corner posts themselves, what the plan set says, is a 24 by 14 post typical, 24 inch by 14 inch post. So that's a pretty stout corner post. I don't even know if you can manufacture that lumber. that's probably something that's joined together, two posts put together.
Sure.
So, Mr. Zinner, in the staff report, is the setback addressed? I see the setback of the house, but the street setback.
Unfortunately, no. I think what we... address... that is the case. It's been a moment since we wrote the staff report, so I apologize. I believe we may have made comment within the report itself that it is required, or it appeared as though it was not encroaching in the front yard setback.
Right.
And so, oversight on our part as staff, it based on the site plan that was attached with the construction packet, the construction plans, the site plan does indicate that the southwest corner of the pergola is roughly 21 feet 3 inches from the property line. So I am not seeing anything here that indicates that we referenced the actual setback for the pergola itself. Again, the idea I think more appropriately is the actual permitting of the project, which it has not been permitted at this point, is going to have to comply with all of our required setbacks.
So I would like you to explain why a median setback wouldn't apply to this as it does to any other case having to do with these older neighborhoods and the different setbacks of the dwellings.
The median setback in this particular instance, Ms. Hammond, would be less than 25 feet.
Right.
We will not allow a structure closer than 25 feet to a property line. Doesn't matter if you have median setbacks that would allow a 21-foot setback.
So anything closer is considered a non-conforming use?
That is correct, but in the calculation of a median setback, if we were to put a home on this property, if there were no home here, and we were going to go back to build a home, we would take the median setback. We would determine based upon that calculation on either side that the median setback of the lot in question that was vacant would be potentially, based on what's adjoining it, let's just say 20 feet. The code clearly indicates that you cannot place a structure any closer than 25 feet to a property line.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what the median is. The median only works in instances in where you have homes that are adjoining the vacant lot that are actually set back further than what the required setback is, that and your lot then, you create the opportunity for the vacant lot to step back, not all the way back to what the median or to what the setbacks are of the adjoining lots, but it will be greater than, generally greater than 25 feet, but it may not be as extreme as if you have two parcels or two developed lots that are 45 feet back from the property line. We'll average or median out the two adjoining structures, and that is what the setback of the middle one would become.
Thank you. I thought there was an exception for these older lots that were placed within the 25 foot. I thought there was an exception in our code. So you're saying no?
Yeah, we'll allow the existing structures to remain legal nonconforming, but anything new that comes in between them, or anything even new on the lots that are already within the front setback, would have to comply with the minimum front setback if they did an addition, for example.
Okay, thank
so
you.
We would not allow them to be built further forward.
Did I hear you say, Pat, that we need to include the 25-foot setback in whatever motion that we
yes.
make or don't make?
I would strongly suggest that, because what your board order, should you approve this, your board order goes to our building staff. And so when the building staff is looking at the design plans that are being submitted for formal permitting, they're going to be looking at your board order to say, yes, this size pergola would be allowed in forward of the principal structure at this distance from the property line. And that is why I would want it to be clarified.
Do you know, you mentioned in the staff report that, you know, the intent of this is not to visually disrupt, you know, the street view of a home, right? So it occurs to me, if you're building a pergola, you can see through that. You said, well, we can build it 8 feet, we can build it 10 feet, we can build it 20 feet, whatever you want. I'd be interested if we can include whatever the lowest point is of the pitch, that it be at a minimum, like essentially the height of the gutters of the first floor of the home. So if you were standing on the sidewalk, you're looking through it, you're still seeing the home at its lowest point of the slant. Does that make sense? I don't know if we can stipulate
so
that.
8 feet
or not,
on the low, on the southern edge, eight yep. feet at the eave. Or
it'd probably be
like
8 feet
that.
Anyways, right? Like 8, 9, 10 feet, something like that. But that way, essentially, you're not standing on the sidewalk and just seeing the pergola and the...
And the pergola and the pitch.
And the pitch, right? You're actually seeing the home, and it sits kind of above your eye level, right? That would preserve what the intent of this code...
I think given the elevation difference between the sidewalk and the street level, you're already 3 to 5 feet, if I recall correctly, from our topo analysis.
Okay.
At that level. So if, I think as Mr. Minshew just mentioned, at a minimum you want to create a space below the lowest edge that you can walk underneath without being impeded by that.
Yeah.
And that would probably mean that the lowest edge, the leading edge of the panel, which would be the south side, is no less than 8 feet,
right,
pitched back at a 10% pitch for the depth. And so your back end's probably going to end up being, if it's 10%, you may end up at 9, 10 feet on the back end because of the pitch.
Yeah.
So you only have a 2 foot rise or so in the overall panel. But you're still, because of your elevation of the sidewalk, you're going to be looking through the lower end of it and seeing the house.
Okay. Okay.
That's how I believe that we would have this, without having actual measurements of where the eave line is. And based on the way that the house is constructed, there is the porch, which sits to the, that would be to the east side of the home, to the driveway side. The porch is the only area where you have an eave, actually, because that's where the gutter line is. And then on the body of the house, which is a two-story structure, it's the roof pitches are to the north and the south side. They don't face Sexton, so you have, there's no gutter that crosses over there.
Okay.
So do we need then some language about the, because if I'm figuring it right by looking at their drawings, it's really 24 by 14. Is there a limit? Could they build one that's 50 by
That's entirely up to you. If I understood correctly, and you may want to recall the applicant as to the size that they absolutely
yeah,
needed.
That's what I'm thinking is, what exactly is the size that we're approving, since we're off a little bit, because they need direction when they go out there to apply for their permit. This is what they're building. This is how far back it is. This is how the eave is,
yep,
all of those things. So,
Mr. Zinner, what are the, are there any maximum heights for accessory structures? that they would would need to be followed?
Maximum height of an accessory structure, if I am not incorrect, I don't have my code, and maybe Ms. Thompson can look this up in the use-specific standards. Accessory structures, if I recall correctly, can be no greater in height than the primary structure, which would not be the case here because it's a two-story structure, or 24 feet. So it's whichever is less, I think it would be the way it would be worded. If you only have a 20-foot tall structure to the roof peak, your accessory structure can't be any greater than that and can't exceed 24. And in this instance, with a two-story structure, it's probably the 24 that applies, but I don't believe that a 24-foot tall pergola is necessary in the front yard.
And to follow up on that, we don't need to stipulate a maximum height, right? That rule exists.
That's otherwise, that is not what they are asking for the waiver on. They are only asking for a waiver or a variance in this instance to allow the structure to be placed in the front yard. They're not asking for any other dimensional or regulatory standard associated with a accessory structure, just its placement.
But for this variance to be valid, we would still need to tie a 21-foot setback requirement. 25 or 21?
Correct.
Because they're asking for 21.
Well,
they were not.
Okay.
So this was not a request to waive any dimensional standard.
Right.
It was only to waive. So what has been identified as part of this testimony this evening is not what they have sought a variance for. So at this point, they would have to come back and they would have to ask for a 3-foot variance to be in the required front yard. That is not what was advertised. The only thing that was advertised was to put a pergola in the front yard.
So we could approve exactly what it says here without stipulating the setback or the size and just grant the variance to place it in the front yard and then site development and planning.
That is correct. You could.
Forward.
I would advise, though, as part of best practice, it's better to be more specific than less. And given the topics that we've covered here this evening, I think the additions of the conditions by which the pergola will be subject to is appropriate.
Are there any further questions for staff? Seeing none, I will give the speaker an opportunity to rebut or be recalled for further questions.
I have questions. So given in the staff report, it states a 16-panel solar array and a 24-by-14-foot pergola. Is that what you're wanting now, or do you want a 30-by-16, and would the 16 panel still be the same?
So, excuse me. The panels stay the same. It's more the beauty of it coming out and making it kind of that beauty aspect of a pergola and making it a pergola. So it's kind of up to the committee to figure that out. But
I think we need to know the exact size you need.
Of course, the panels itself, it's 27.66, so 27 feet by 0.66 by 13.66, so 13 feet.
So more like
six.
30 by 16, because 24 actually wouldn't work.
Correct, and I'm not sure exactly where you're getting the 24. I think that came off of a different engineering plan, but I do have one in my site plan that's 30 feet back on all corners.
I was reading something on here that said they were 72.44 by 40.55, and that's where I was coming up with that.
It's hard with solar at the very end of the year because all the manufacturers get new ones. So it's like, if this is approved today, then yes, this is what I need. If it's approved in 6 months, it's probably going to be a little bit an inch per panel type thing. So it really all depends.
Okay.
It's hard for us.
But you can do it if it's approved today with what you've...
Correct, already have the panels.
Stated, okay.
And you
have to use them.
And you're asking for a border out past the edge of the solar panels just from an aesthetic.
Yeah, so you just put your stringers and then your board just runs wild over that, and that board will give it that aesthetics of...
So it'd be an open end.
Open
I got
yeah.
you, I got you. Okay,
yeah.
Okay, all right.
That would be only on the the south and north, but not on the east and west, because that would be that'd be flush. So.
Which would, that would be like a normal pergola. So.
Of course, yeah. Yep.
Okay, any further questions for the applicant?
Would the 8 feet variance on the front be okay? Would that be sufficient? And if so, would that be on that, that aesthetics, or that, would that be on that string?
You mean height?
Correct.
Okay. I don't think that we can approve a variance if it hasn't been properly advertised. I mean, I think that's what Pat was saying.
I think the applicant actually misstated that. Probably, he wants to know. So I think what we've discussed here is a 30 by 16 pergola. That's the footprint of the pergola. 8 foot tall at its leading edge, which would be adjoining the sidewalk with the pitch going up. Is that correct?
Correct.
So
at,
it's
at the post.
Yeah, it's a clarification. It's a clarification of what the minimum height of the top joist height needs to be, so they can work with underneath it. Critically here, what we need to specify, what the board would need to specify, is the maximum footprint of the pergola, and then its minimum elevation above grade, and that is the 8 feet.
And to make sure we stipulate the 25-foot
setback. That's correct. Now, if I understood the applicant correctly, if he's got a secondary site plan, I may have an older version of the site plan. If the applicant has one, if I could see it, we may be able to just specify the pergola dimensions and then refer to it as placed pursuant to the site plan dated such, which is what we've done previously.
You happen to have a copy of that site plan?
I do. I can email it or just show it to you.
Oh, one, okay. So for the public record, to reflect this, I am looking at a site plan provided to us by the applicant, Solar Sam, that does indicate a 30-foot front yard setback, 30 feet on the northern property line, and 30 feet 6 inches on the southerly property line of the property of the subject site at 215 West Sexton. That site plan would be provided as a part of the documentation to which the board order, if granted this evening, would be subject to, and then that would be expected to be submitted with the building permit application. So all dimensional related aspects would be addressed. The only issue now that the board would need to establish as part of its order would be the actual size and dimensions of the pergola that is requested for the solar array to sit on.
So just to clarify, the site, the footprint you're asking for is 30 feet width, 16 feet depth?
Correct.
And an 8 foot minimum height?
On the leading edge.
Correct.
And a 30-foot setback from the property line?
Yes, ma'am.
Is that what?
25.
So that's quite a bit different.
Are you saying 30?
It doesn't matter. My site.
I just need 30.
Let's just say.
It just needs to meet the code of 25.
Needs to meet the code.
So.
Correct. Okay. So
the site plan.
Playing with the.
Give yourself some margin here to.
Well, the squareness of the sidewalk, right?
Right.
So 25 feet gives you some play then.
Absolutely. Yes. Okay.
So would we need, returning to Mr. Zenner, would we need to specify this in our?
I would probably, simply put, you probably can just indicate that it must, that the placement of the pergola must meet all required setbacks for the R1 zoning district.
Okay.
So can I make a motion then?
I'd like to make a motion.
Well, we're
okay,
not,
go ahead.
We're not ready to,
right.
We're getting there. Are there any more questions for this applicant? All right.
I would like to apologize for missing that meeting too. I didn't know it was open, so.
You're right.
I'm going to go ahead and close the public portion of the hearing. Legal, would you like to make some comments?
I would, thank you. I would like to move to have some exhibits entered into the record. As City's Exhibit 1, the following sections of the Code of Ordinances, Section 29-3.3, Romanet 2, 29-6.1, 29-6.3, 29-6.4, D, F, and G.
Moved.
Thank you. As City's Exhibit 2, the locator map.
So moved.
As City's Exhibit 3, the application, supporting documents, and City's denial letter.
So So moved.
As city's exhibit four, the hearing ad, parties in interest letter, and parties in interest list.
So moved.
City's exhibit five, the construction plans.
So moved.
As city's exhibit six, the assessor's map and tax bill.
So moved.
And as city's exhibit seven, the staff report.
So moved.
Beyond that, I'll just remind the board that under 29-6.4, there are five criteria that you must consider and find true before granting the variance. I'm happy to read those criteria to you now if you would like.
Wish to have those read? No, thank you.
No further comments from me. I'm happy to answer any questions if you have any.
Any questions? So exhibit number four, we've submitted the construction site plans. Are these the most recent ones? And what are the rules for submitting maybe updated versions of those outside of the meeting or after the meeting?
The construction plans that I'm seeking to exhibit are to admit are those that are attached to the agenda.
Okay.
If the board, and I appreciate you asking the question, if the board would allow it, and if those construction plans can be submitted to Mr. Zenner, and we could keep the record open for, I think, 24 hours, then Mr. Zenner could supplement the record and have those updated construction plans submitted.
I think we would appreciate that.
Yeah.
Okay. And I guess because we're going to potentially tie our verbiage to the site plan, we really need to have the one that they're going to run with. Any board members have comments or would like to make discussion or motions matter?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion in the case of 04-2023, the property at 215 West Sexton Road, to grant the requested variance that allows the forward structure of a pergola with a minimum of 8 feet on its leading edge, dimensions not to exceed 30 by 16, and adhering to the applicable current 25-foot setback code. Pat, did I cover everything that I think we needed to?
Yes, you have, Mr. Crew.
Is there a second?
A second.
A motion and a second. Is there any discussion on this motion or? I don't see any discussion. All right, so, Mr. Liaison.
Well, you know, maybe just in the interest of, so that we have discussed it, I'm glad to see we're getting some requests to enhance the city's sustainability plan, and I intend to approve this.
I concur with that. In looking at the required criteria, not only have we established that, given the age of the home, that this is a practical difficulty of the site, but in particular, the requirement that it not be inconsistent with the adoption of the comprehensive plan, that this is the reciprocal of that. It's very much, as we heard from staff, in support of the comprehensive plan, in support of the climate plan that the city has laid out, has the least effect, as I understand, sounds like a very beautiful old tree adjoining the property, not to disturb the natural aesthetic of the home or of the nature surrounding it. So I fully agree with that and then also intend to support this.
So I think this is the perfect project to bring in front of our committee because we're encouraging people to put up solar. We ask you, please don't cut down the old trees. And then we have a requirement that says you can't put the structure to hold solar in your front yard. And so there's obviously no way in the building codes to put every conceivable idea out there, and when you put building codes in place, not everything's been thought of. So to me, I think it's if you're going to have solar on your property and we don't want you to cut the trees down to put it behind your house, then we have to give you the option of a way to do it. And so I think we will see this more. I mean, I think you'll see this more, Pat, as time goes on.
I would add to that, or maybe Jefferson's comment to that is, in this particular case, it's not disrupting the kind of standard of where the homes line up to each other, right? And that in my mind is actually a critical element, and one of the reasons I love that we don't set precedent for all properties, right? Because this has got a significant, you know, greater setback than traditional homes, you know, that it, as I think we heard staff say, by putting something in this position and the plans that we've seen and even the plans that were described, it does not stand out materially that it, you know, disrupts the flow of the view of the street, if that makes sense. So if we do see, you know, these in the future, I guess I would just make that comment related to this specific case for at least my particular vote.
Any further comments? None. Mr. Liaison, would you take a roll, please?
Yes.
Is there a second on that motion? Yes. There was, yeah, okay.
Mr. Minshew seconded. So there is a motion on the floor. Mr. Crew made that motion. Mr. Minshew seconded that motion. It includes three aspects. It is a motion to recommend approval to allow a pergola to be located in the front yard of 215 West Sexton Road, not to exceed a maximum size of 30 feet by 16 feet, have a minimum height of 8 feet on the leading edge of said pergola, and that would be the edge closest to West Sexton, and then the placement of said pergola shall comply with all standard setbacks for the zoning district in which the pergola is located, which is our R1 zoning classification. With that motion, Mr. Norgaard.
Yes.
Ms. Hammond?
Yes.
Mr. Minshew?
Yes.
Ms. Rogers?
Yes.
And Mr. Crew?
Yes.
Motion is approved with four affirmative votes. Board order will be issued subject to receipt of the revised site plan. Five votes. It's been a long couple of weeks.
The fifth vote was just for extra.
I see, yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Parker, Mr. Heitman.
Thank you. Yeah,
thanks for coming.
Good luck with your project.
All right, we're gonna move on since we're close to the end of the meeting. Is there anyone in the public who would like to speak before the board? None. Is there anybody or items from the board or anything from staff that we should discuss?
You do have a meeting on January 10th, so apparently after a long hiatus, we are starting to receive more normal submissions coming in, so we will meet January 10th of 2023. There is not at this point a scheduled work session. Ms. Thompson and I will meet and discuss when we can do that educational presentation for not only our regular board members, but as well for our alternate board members. I would anticipate that would be, given we have a meeting in February, we would schedule that for the February meeting to allow for adequate notice to be put out and for us to pull together the presentation that we typically will utilize. With that, we appreciate your attendance here this evening. Terry Old here is in the audience with us tonight, one of our newly appointed alternate board members, as well as Linda Olson here on the opposite side of the chamber. Both of them are testing, seeing how it all works. And hopefully it'll be a little bit smoother next time. I'm out of practice because we don't meet frequently enough anymore. We wish you all a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And again, we do appreciate your service. We will have an agenda out to you in the beginning of January. Actually, January 3rd is when you will receive that agenda. So that will be for, again, the 10th of January's meeting. Same place, same time. That's all we have to offer.
I'll make just a 10-second comment. Thank you to our alternates for being here. That's fantastic. And to the city staff. You guys are amazing. We couldn't do this without you. We really rely on your reports, and I don't know if we're still on the public record. I've always said people that come and try and kind of tear down the staff report, at least with me personally, I know that never sits well because we do rely so much on you. So thank you for your diligence and your hard work, and I don't attend a lot of meetings at 7, 8 o'clock at night. So thank you for being here and doing this.
Jefferson, any further comments? No. Somebody want to make a motion to end the meeting?
I'll make a motion.
Oh, all at once. We're over.